Praise God. I've entitled today's message, God's Glow. I think it was last week that Andrew put on a passage, three verses from Colossians 3. Colossians 3 from verses 12 to 14. And I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14, it's including verse 14. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavour to understand others. And be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, inoffensive in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. Verse 14, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. And at the end of that passage, Andrew put these words, the love of God is the glue that holds all things together. And that's what hit me. It's the glue that holds everything together. And it's through this glue that all the gifts of the Spirit will flow through us. And for these gifts to be effective, love has to be evident. And we'll find that in 1 Corinthians 12.
You said 12.
In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about the importance of spiritual gifts flowing amongst the believers. And he's likening it to one body with many parts. And each part is equally important. In your body, we've said it before, there's some very unseemly parts, there's some very insignificant parts, there's parts that you don't see. But if one of those was missing, you would know it. And it's the same with the spiritual body. You might feel that you're not an upfront person. That is irrelevant. Everything that we do in any way to contribute to the flow of this body, to the operating of this body, is crucially important. And every part is vital as one another. There's no, the upfront parts are not anywhere near more important than the ones that are done behind the scenes. Because without the things being done behind the scenes, the upfront couldn't happen. So every part is vital for the spiritual body to function. And in verse 31 of chapter 12, all says this, but you should all constantly boil over with passion in seeking greater gifts. Paul is encouraging us to be passionate about flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. And I really feel a prompting from God, especially after these past few weeks when the Spirit of God has been moving amongst us and there has been a flow, a beautiful flow of the Spirit. Yes, there are times when it's absolutely great for the silence, and we need the silence and just to focus. But that silence cannot be a time of inaction, if you get what I mean. You don't switch your mind off and switch it onto something else. When the silence comes and the Spirit of God is here, then it's time to tune in and start saying, God, I need to learn to hear your voice. I need to recognise that still small voice inside me. And I'm asking you to show me how to hear that. Let me hear. I'm hungry to hear that voice. And that's how it all begins. And he might just, on Sunday I was sat there and I was saying, God, is there anything that you want to say? And a verse of scripture just dropped straight into my spirit. And I knew that I knew that I knew that this was God, because I'd never even thought about that scripture. And so then in an act of faith, I thought, okay, God, here we go. You give me one verse, you'll give me the rest. So let's push out here and go for it and speak it out. And that's how the Spirit works. He just gives you a little bit and then you just go with that, and he keeps giving you more and giving you more. So it's good to learn to listen to the Spirit. And knowing it's not going to happen the first time and all at once, but are we hungry? We can't just be content to sit there and be immobile and do nothing and switch your brain off, switch your mind off, switch your spirit off, and just looking around seeing, well, what's next? God's saying, I'm talking to you. Are you listening? I'm talking to you. Are you listening? And that's what God wants us to be doing, learning to listen and to flow with the Spirit of God. So Paul is saying, you should all constantly boil over with passion in seeking the best gifts, the greater gifts. So not just listening and hearing the voice of God, but growing in that experience. And what, saying, God, I heard you. It's so exciting when you hear God. And that makes you hungry to do more and to be flowing. There's so many gifts of the Spirit that God wants us to be flowing in, for the body to be complete. And I'm excited at what God is doing currently. But I don't want us to miss the best. And God is saying, it's for you now to learn, to tune in, to flow with me. And above everything, it's got to be in love. It must be done through love, not through superiority or feeling that you've arrived. That is absolutely, it's futile, that it's going to do nothing. It's got to be, the motivation has to be love. And then Paul says at the very end of that verse, and now I will show you the superior way to live, a way that is beyond comparison. And he goes into 1 Corinthians 13. There were a couple of other thoughts, and I've said this before when I was talking about revival and about the river of God. We shouldn't see church as the petrol station and coming empty. Tank me up, God, tank me up. Where have you been all week? I've been speaking all week. You didn't even come anywhere near me. Come away, come to one side. Listen to me. Connect with me. The there's never a day goes by but God didn't say something. And he might challenge you, he might encourage you, he might give you a revelation, all sorts of things he does. He's a God who's got a variety, and he knows just what you need, when you need it, now you need it. And he's there to give it to you. But we've got to be like these little birds, haven't we? Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. So, you know, we need to do that. So it's no good arriving at church with our tank on zero if we've been feeding together. Sorry, if we've been feeding with God during the week, he will have said some things to you that will resonate with you. And not everything might be for you. But you've got something in your tank. And when we go, when the Spirit of God is flowing, we need to be listening, and God might bring up more of the scriptures he's given you this week. Or when you come to church, you might have it really impressed in your spirit, and you're thinking, why is this scripture coming and coming and coming? Because God wants you to share it with the body. Just say, God blessed me, he gave me this scripture, and it really did me good. Tell people how God blessed you from the Word of God this week. Because there might be somebody in the congregation who's saying, I really needed that. That's just what I needed to hear. And if the Spirit of God is telling you, then it's necessary on that day to give it. Because you'll find there'll be somebody else that the Spirit of God has been speaking to. And what you say and what they say will flow together. And there'll be somebody else get up and they might have something, and that will flow together because it's the same Spirit that's flowing amongst us. But he's saying, I'm flowing, I'm flowing. I'm giving you all that you really need, that you need when you come together. But I need people available. I need people who are hungry to listen to the Spirit and prepared to risk it. It is scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely scary. You're thinking, oh, no, I'm going to sit here and listen. I couldn't possibly do that. And there's a prod coming that, no, the Spirit's the prodder, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, come on, come on. I mean, Andrew, he had a word of prophecy years ago, and he thought, I can't say that.
And God will kick me out.
And will kick me out, yeah. And God prodded him all the way through the service. And he escaped without giving it. He did a week of work, came back to church, and thumbed his bottom at the chair. What came into his spirit? What he didn't say last week, and he should have said. And God would not let him go until he said it. He almost tipped the communion cup over somebody who was shaking that much. God was really on his case. You'll give this, you'll give this. You don't keep your mouth shut when I speak, then open your mouth and I'll fill it. But it is risky. It is sometimes quite nerve-wracking. But we don't need to be getting up boastfully. I said this, you didn't say anything. The Spirit of God wants to minister through you. And as we said on Sunday, when the body gets together, in the Word of God, Paul says, you come to give, one as a hymn, one as a scripture, one as an encouragement, one as a word, one as a testimony. There's a variety of things the Holy Spirit will speak to you about. And encourage you to come and bring it. Come and bring. We've come together to give. The world's mentality now is gimme, gimme, gimme. But we come to give and not to get. The world's mentality is always, I just want to come to get. And that can be a mentality in church, but it's not right. The body needs to come together with an attitude of, I've come to give to this body, to impart to this body. I'm here because God placed me here. He filled me with his Spirit and he wants me to flow in this body. And flow I will, because he's given me so much. God has been so good to me. He's blessed me, blessed me, blessed me. How can I sit here and be stubborn and not allow God to bless somebody else through me? Come on, folks. It really is time not to come on zero, but to come tanked up and ready and flowing with the Spirit for when we get together. Because when that happens, church becomes exciting. It really does. I've been in some of those meetings where people flowing in the Spirit and you think, wow. In fact, sometimes it's like, this is getting too close for comfort. Let me out of here. But that's when the Spirit's flowing. Sometimes he wants to nail somebody. And as they did with Andrew when he gave that word. And it's not always easy to do, but we have to be available. But it's all done in love. And when it's done in love, it is extremely effective. Because at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13, it's the first three verses. The first three verses, again from the Passion Translation. It's headed, "Love is the motivation of our lives." If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. Did we get that? What we speak, if it's not done in love, will just be nothing but a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy and a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but never have learned love, I am absolutely nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything that I owned to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. So anything that is not done in love is just empty. And the verse that, when I was studying this, the verse that came to me, in 1 Corinthians 13, I've written here, all the gifts of the Spirit are bankrupt without love. They're hollow. So love has to be the motivating force for the Spirit of God to flow. Otherwise, what we do is bankrupt. God is the glue, the key ingredient. Sorry, love is the glue, the key ingredient on which all the other gifts hang. So to look at 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4, that gives the attributes of love. But I just want to say a few things before we look at that. Contrary to popular belief, love is not an emotion. The world says, oh, I love my boyfriend. I love this person, I love that person. And then next minute, they're at loggerheads and they've fallen apart and this love no longer exists. Well, I don't love him anymore. That's the world's rubbish. Love is an act of our will. I choose to love you. I choose to overlook your faults because I'm full of them too. I choose to see the good in you. I choose to forgive. I choose not to be offended. I choose to work at this relationship. because all relationships need working on. It's not always easy. It's not always flowing. And in verse, in the Passion Translation, in verse 2 of chapter 13, it says this at the end. And if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love. Love is something we have to learn. Something is, we're nothing if we're not prepared to learn and to put into practice what we learn and put everything of our will behind it and say, I will love this person. And how do we do it? Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And really Jesus loved some very unlovable people. He went out of his way to love the people that we might not want to talk to, the prostitutes. He was there with the demon possessed man. He was just wild, that man. But Jesus cast the spirits out, and that man was in his right mind. Jesus was never threatened or intimidated by people who didn't look lovely at that point, because he saw beyond that and he knew what love does. Love transforms our nature. Love makes us like God. I was blessed. That's another thing here. You learn to love when you realise how much God loves you.
Yeah.
Because when you mess up, God doesn't throw you out with the trash. He says, come on. Keep short accounts with me. Let's do what we need to do and get on. Let's move on. And that's what we need to be doing. Because I always think when I look at people, but for the grace of God, there go I. I just thank God for the people he's brought across my path who have rescued me and dragged me out of the mire. Because God had a plan, and they listened to God. On later last week, what might have been early this week, Andrew put on a passage from Psalm 36, verses 7-9. Psalm 36, verses 7-9. And I think it was Hayley that put something on this week about the greatest commandment is to love one another. You know, it was coming at me from all directions. Love, 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 love. And this Psalm 36 from the Message, it says, how exquisite your love, O God. You're a fountain of cascading light, and you open our eyes to light. It's the refreshing waters of the spiritual river which flowed through the Garden of Eden. That is so graphic and moving about God's love. How powerful, how awesome, how all-embracing that love is. How unconditional that love is. David knew it, and he blew it how many times? Big style. But he's here just singing the praises of God. God has been so good to him. But it says it's the refreshing waters of the spiritual river which flowed through the Garden of Eden. What was that river? It was the river of life. And God says that river of life flows through you. And we used to sing a song, didn't we, 2 years ago? Come on. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out in me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me salvation abundantly. That's the river of life flowing through us. And then we'll be able to love one another as Jesus said, as I have loved you. For some people, it's more difficult than others. I thank God that I was brought up in a strong, loving Christian home, and I was very, very secure in that home, and I was very much loved, but not everybody has that blessing and a good start to the life. And for some people, it's not as easy to love as it is when you are loved. But it's more than possible. And that's what God wants those, even though historically have developed wrong habits or through bad parenting or rejection issues or unloving relationships or being in an unloving environment, it's difficult. However, as we experience God's abounding love and forgiveness, it just transforms the way that we see others. And I was by no means perfected in love. What perfected me in love was when I got a hold of God and I started gazing into his face and gazing into the word and just absorbing the word. And that's what transforms you. Absolutely. Puts the fella in the cellar in charge, and the fanatic in the attic. So, I want to read from verses 4. Well, I can read, no, I won't. The gifts of the attributes of love are in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. And it lists what love is and what love does and how love responds. It lists, it's the nature of love. So in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, you will find listed the nature of love. But what is God?
Love.
God is love. So this is the way he looks at you. If he's saying to you, you need to look at others this way, that's because he first loves you this way. We love him because he first loved us. And this is how God looks at us. And as we reflect on this, then we'll begin to see others in the same light. I've got love endures long and is patient and kind. And if you've ever read the Old Testament, of the children of Israel and how stubborn they were and how they I would have lost it, truly would have lost it with them. But the patience of God with those people. He's told them, he said, you're a rebellious, stiff-necked people. And they went through some rough stuff because God had to get the message across to them of the greatness and the unconditional love that he had for them. But he never wrote them off. He was always patient and kind. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It isn't boastful or haughty or arrogant and inflated with pride. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not self-centered. It's not me first. It's others first and yourself last. This is a big one for people to get across. It keeps no record of wrongs. Forgiveness is crucial. Absolutely crucial. We cannot keep a record of a wrong done to us. Because it's not just for others, but for ourselves. If we don't forgive, it will eat away at us until it destroys us. So we can't give the devil an opportunity. It's on the list of love, because that's what love does, and it protects us. It's our greatest defence and also our greatest weapon. Isn't that amazing? Love can be a real defence mechanism, but it can be a real weapon against the enemy. It has two sides to it. And sometimes we always need to see both sides and be prepared to go for it with everything that we've got. It doesn't rejoice at injustice, but it rejoices when truth prevails. It bears up under anything and everything that comes. The truth is, love never gives up. God never gave up and never will give up on you. So he says, don't you ever give up on others. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. In one translation it says it looks at everybody through rose-coloured spectacles, and I think that is lovely. It's not always easy even to do that, is
it? No, it isn't.
You know, we can, I know I am, we all have blaring faults sometimes, but God looks at us through rose-coloured glasses. I'm really glad he does.
It's a good job,
isn't it? It is. And we need to look at others in that way, and ourselves. Oh, get over it, you know. It's not the end of the world. God's not going to fall off his throne because you got it wrong. He's just saying, get up, let's go again. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Puts up with everything without weakening. And I've written here, perseverance. That's what love does. It always perseveres. Never writes anybody off. Somebody rang us on Monday and he was saying, you know, I've been in ministry now for a good few years, lots of years, and I've learned the hardest thing to do is persevere. But you need to know that you need to persevere. When you're in ministry, perseverance is crucial. because anybody can get up and run away and move on and say, oh, you know, I'm leaving that behind. I'm sure God's calling me somewhere else. I'm sure it looks nicer in Cyprus. I'm sure God wants me in Cyprus. I don't think he wants me here anymore. I think I've done all I can do. And talk yourself out of it. And then something happens and God gets hold of you and gets the message across. Excuse me, perseverance is required. Any wimp can run, but to persevere takes guts. And that's what this man of God was saying towards him. He says, I've learned perseverance is the key. It's required of every man. And it's tough.
And woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love this one. Love never looks back. I can't tell you how many times in my walk with God, I've said to people, stop looking back. It's finished. God's got no record of it. Why are you keeping a record? The slate's clean. God says, I don't remember. Why do you choose to remember? And when you're talking to him about it, he's saying, what are you talking about? There's nothing on the record. Only good things. The bad is erased. God set the example. What does he say? Follow me. If I keep no record of wrongs, and if I don't look back, then what are you doing keeping a record and looking back? There's nothing to be gained from looking back. You cannot change anything that's happened. Well, no matter how bitterly you regret it, you cannot change it. So God says, I've erased it. And if it doesn't exist, you know, we're fools sometimes, aren't we? The devil gets you wanting to go back in time so he can have a field game with you, a field day with you. And he can play with your mind. Well, come on, be smart. Be as smart as God. God's saying, don't know what you're talking about.
I only learned that a few weeks ago. Looking back with regret.
Stop it.
And yes, I read something that someone had wrote and thought, oh, never thought about that one. It's not just forgiveness for, it's also the things that I've done that I still regret. And on that day, I thought, right, you learn not
to regret. You cannot change it, can you?
It's been fantastic since I've done that, I must admit.
So you've left the tribe of the if-ads.
Yeah.
If I'd only said, if I'd only done,
yes,
if I'd only,
right.
If I'd only. Yeah. Leave the tribe behind, join the new tribe, the love of God.
Yes. The devil snares many people. And, you know, I don't underestimate some people have been through some rough stuff that I can't imagine. But it still applies. Don't give the devil ammunition. Don't give him anything to work with. Laugh at him. Say that person doesn't exist. Ask God. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. New every morning is his love. That's what Jeremiah said. New every morning is your love. Fresh start. Woo! I'm ready to jump and shout. Love, in the first sentence in verse 8, it says, love never fails. Do you want to be a success? Follow the love walk. Follow the nature of love. Let God's nature be in you. And you'll be as free as God's free. He wants his kids free. we are going to rule and reign. God wants us free. Sorry, Louise, were you going to say something?
Is it that love makes the world go round?
Yeah, it does. It's all the world says, but it don't understand that. So I'm going to read from verse 8 through to verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. And again, it's in the Passion. It says in verse 8, love never stops loving. And I think this next bit is beautiful. Love extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It's more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and I reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and I set aside my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I'll understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Mm. Just a few thoughts on those few verses. Love extends beyond all the other gifts. Why? Because it never dies. It's never obsolete. Because it's God. And God never dies. God never fails. God's never obsolete. God exists and always will. In verse 11, only when we become mature will transforming love bring us face to face and mouth to mouth with God. And I was thinking of Moses. He went face to face, mouth to mouth with God. And when he came out of his presence, his face shone. He said, Moses, cover your face, we can't look at that. Blinding. He didn't have to go to heaven for that to happen, did he?
No.
So, do we have to go to heaven to get to that point?
No.
No. He was reflecting what he saw. If we look at this and focus on it and get in God's presence, we will reflect what we see. And our faces will shine. And I only ever remember doing that once. And I was in the Word of God, and God said to me, go next door and share your testimony with your neighbour. So I went next door, and I knocked on the door, and she came. And she said to me, come in, Grace. And I went in, and I shared the gospel with her, and she said, your face is glowing. She says, you're just so excited. You're so passionate. I said, it's because I'm telling you the truth. You need this love, this God love. And it really, she didn't make a decision there and then, but she knew that she knew that she knew that God loved her. But that only came because I spent time there, and it just, the Spirit of God saying, go on, do it. So I didn't stop and think about it. I just did it. Praise God. But you know, we've got to spend time in His presence, because this is the transforming power. It's alive and living, this book. And that's why it will transform your mind, transform your heart. It'll just transform you. And especially the love chapter, because when you realise how He looks at you, you just want to swing from the ceiling, because you're free, 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 free. Walk out the prison. The prison doors are open. Go, girl. Go. Amen.
Amen.
So we can reflect God's glory here in this mortal body. And if you remember, I think it was when they were stoning Stephen. His face shone. And he said, hold not this sin against them. That was love. I don't know yet if I'm there. I don't know if I could say, if somebody was throwing stones at me to kill me, hold not this sin against them. As Jesus did on the cross. Redeeming love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow, wow, wow. A challenge of love. We used to sing another song. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus you see in me. We don't have to go to heaven for that to happen.
No.
We can have heaven on earth. We can bring heaven down. As we get in His presence, we draw, we draw, we draw His presence into ourselves, and it radiates out to others. This love is transforming. This love makes all the spiritual gifts flow, powerfully flow. This love compels us to follow the Spirit, to flow with the Spirit. In a measure, you understand Paul's driving force. This love compels me. It compels me to put up with shipwreck and to risk it and give everything for the one who gave everything for me. Until then, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. Why? Because love is eternal. Love is the nature of God. And as it said in the last verse of the Passion Translation, so above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you love.
Wants you to desire spiritual gifts.
He does, he does.
Not in the fact that you desire those first. Love's the driving force within your life. In fact, these gifts will come and you'll use them to his glory, to pursue love. And there's a comment here, it says, to be zealous for, to burn with desire, to pursue ardently, to desire eagerly or intensely, pursue love.
It undergirds everything, doesn't it?
There's another word that we use, and that the word of compassion, and that word of compassion is sort of crosses over with love. You know, Jesus, it says, had compassion on them and healed them.
Yeah.
In other words, Jesus, his love, the love of God flowed out of him.
Mm.
And that's what caused him to heal them. Mm. And one of the things we need to remember is that when we pray for people, are we praying to receive accolades?
Yeah.
Or are we praying to see that the love of God just will flow through us and minister to those people's lives and change their lives and their livelihood for the future? And that's what it's about. And the more that we flow in that, the more healings we shall see. That's an absolute truth.
Mm.
And you know, I can look back over Grace and I as we've walked together with the Lord and been in ministry together. I can look back and I can see how many lives that, in truth, if it wasn't for the love of God that God had given to us, that was able to flow out of us, I could list a number of people who would be dead today.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that you, when you think like that, you think, wow, God has allowed me to be, in one sense, involved in being a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Not just a life changer, but a lifesaver.
Mm.
You know, there would have been people in a graveyard now.
Yeah.
Who didn't know Jesus,
mm.
and that means they would have been condemned to a lost eternity.
Mm.
And you just think, wow, the Lord has allowed me, allowed, and He's allowing you to have that part to play in people's lives. Mighty, absolutely mighty.
Mm.
And that's the power of love.
Mm. It's the greatest force in the world, in the universe. Because it's God.
Yeah, well, like we've got it on the front of the church. God is love.
That's his, his nature, it's his fabric, it's, he uses it, it's in.
I use that analogy on the love of God when you take a stick of rock and you chop it at one end and it says Scarborough. You chop it in the middle, it says Scarborough. You chop it part way, it still says, all the way through it says, it's the same thing, and no matter where you intersect with God, no matter where you touch God, it says love.
It is.
It says love.
Mm.
Love. And that's God pouring himself.
Yeah.
He created the world out of love.
He did.
And he created you and me out of love. And he sent Jesus out of love.
Mm.
So that then we can enter into a love relationship.
Yeah.
With you and I.
And love conquers all.
Yeah.
So. It conquers all the blackness and all the darkness and all the hate that the world tries to try. The devil, it just totally obliterates it.
And the same theme has been with me all week as well.
Has it?
God's love, yeah.
Praise God.
And this morning I read in the second letter of John, and now I ask you, not as though I was writing to you a new commandment, but one that we've had from the beginning, that we love one another.
Love them.
And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And that has been with me all this week. It's just, must be something in the air.
Oh, sure. The Lord's trying to tell us something.
Yeah. But that's the move of the Spirit, isn't it? You know, we were just saying, if you share something that God's been saying to you, then it will flow with what somebody else is and what somebody, and here we go, the flow of the Spirit.
And at the end of that chapter, because it's only one chapter, John says, and I want to talk, say it out, face to face.
Yeah.
I don't want to write it, I want to talk.
Talk, yes.
So that our joy might be complete. Mm. So you have to talk it out. You have to say it, stand up and say it.
You do. You do.
Amen.
So are we going for it?
Go for it.
I'm excited.